There are some things we can take or leave, some things we can do or not do, and there are some things we can be or not be, and the end results are really immaterial. Then there are some things we can take or leave, do or not do, be or not be, which definitely and seriously affect us, either for good or ill, for the rest of our lives. But, dear friend, there is one thing which is absolutely an indispensable necessity. And without it, there is irreparable damage, irrecoverable loss, and irrevocable results. And this not only for time, but forever. The necessity is not only applicable to just a few, that is, to a certain class of people, nor is it something you, dear listening friend, can treat with indifference, as if something else will do just as well. No, this indispensable necessity is proclaimed by the one who knows your deepest need, and he alone has your welfare on his heart and desires your blessing. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is both creator and redeemer of men, who says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And realizing the impact that this would have on his listening friend, Nicodemus, he continued with emphasis, and I quote, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." It was perhaps one of the best of men, morally and religiously, who ever lived, to whom the Son of God directed the proclamation of this indispensable necessity. Nicodemus had heard of Jesus. He knew the miracles he had done. He respected him as a teacher come from God. And he admitted that Jesus did and said all by divine power. He was drawn to come to Jesus, not only by curiosity, I feel, but by a real sense of his need of him. He knew that all the religiousness that he had could not supply the need in his soul. He came to Jesus by night, it is true, and perhaps because he had a fear of what his fellow Pharisees might say. But nevertheless, he did come. He came to Jesus. He made a decision to come, and he came. Now this, dear friend, is what you must do. Whether it's nighttime or daytime, whether your friends agree with you or not, oh, I beseech you, do not let anyone or anything rob you of the indispensable necessity. You must come to Jesus and be born again, or else you will perish in your sins forever. Now listen to the word that Jesus tells Nicodemus. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you are a man, a member of the human race, as you indeed are, whether young or old, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, black or yellow, red or white, ye must be born again. Jesus did not say, "Except a thief or a drunkard or a harlot or a rebel be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But he said, "Except a man, except you are born again, dear friend, you will not see nor enter the kingdom of God." Now, you may be a good father or a good mother, a good son or a good daughter, without being born again. You may be a respected citizen in the community. Yes, you may be a member of a church, baptized, have taken communion. Alas, you may even be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher without being born again. You may indeed occupy almost any position of respect in society here on earth without being born again. But if you desire to see or enter the kingdom of God and be saved from a Christless eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth and torment, ye must be born again. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, it is not something you can take or leave. It is the indispensable necessity for your eternal welfare. Now, since this is of such vital importance, would you not be wise to inquire just what it means to be born again? Nicodemus did, and the Lord graciously and clearly informed him. And in recording this incident in the third chapter of John's Gospel, he means that you and I should likewise know from this experience how we may be born again. Like as Nicodemus should receive his word and be blessed, you and I should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is his desire for you. Now, the first question that Nicodemus asked shows the common mistake that men make in understanding spiritual matters. He is thinking in the vein of human reasoning, and how often we do this. He says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, such a question proves the truth of 1 Corinthians 2:14. The Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, writes, I quote, "The natural man," that is, the unsaved man, the man not born again, "the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." That is, he cannot know them by natural reasoning. Now, Jesus patiently goes on to instruct Nicodemus. And he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." To be born the second time in one's mother's womb, even if it were possible, would not produce anything different in result. Flesh is flesh. It remains flesh. Flesh can only produce flesh. And whether flesh is civilized or educated or religionized or reformed, flesh is still flesh. It is irreparably wicked and ruined by sin. The Bible tells us that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is why a man must be born again. Now the Lord Jesus says, "Except a man be born again." I draw attention to this word again. It really implies a birth of a different kind, a new kind of birth. "Except a man be born anew," or born from above. All this is implied in the word used. Born of God, we must be, not simply of woman. We must be born of the Spirit, not simply of the flesh. And so this is what the Lord has in mind when he says, "Except a man be born again." Now let me ask you, have you been born anew? Now, just how this is brought about, Jesus continues to speak of to Nicodemus. And he points out that there are two divine agents used to accomplish this miraculous, indispensable necessity. In verse 5, he says, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, what did he mean? Oh, let us have the Word of God answer that question for us. You know, dear friend, it's not what I think it means or your opinion about a thing, but the Bible is its own expository, and it tells us exactly what is meant here. Well, what is it meant to be born of water and of the Spirit? Now, let me be very clear and emphatic, dear friend. The water the Lord Jesus speaks of here does not, it absolutely does not mean baptism. In the first place, Christian baptism was not at all yet instituted. And furthermore, baptism has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. You may be baptized by water 1,000 times, and it will not change your spiritual state 1 iota. Now, had the Lord Jesus wished to use the word for baptism, he would have used it. But he doesn't. He used an entirely different word. He uses the word water. And water in the Bible consistently throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament is a symbol of the Word of God. Now, Nicodemus knew this very well. He was a master in Israel, and he knew these things. And so the Lord was speaking of something of which Nicodemus was acquainted with. In the Old Testament, for instance, when the psalmist says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" we have the thought of cleansing and water linked together. And you notice, he goes on to say how this is done. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And thus the cleansing and the word are linked together. In Ezekiel 36, I just mentioned as a reference, we have also the same thought which Nicodemus was acquainted with. But I would ask that you go to the New Testament with me to consider a few references there. In Ephesians 5, verse 26, for instance, the cleansing and the sanctifying needed by the sinful man is stated clearly to be, and I quote, "with the washing of water." And you notice it goes on to say, and I quote, "by the word." The washing of water by the word. Yes, it is the word of God, dear friend. That is one of the divine agents used to bring about this new birth. Listen, too, to what Peter says in his epistle. First Epistle, chapter 1, verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Not by baptism, but by the word of God. Also James in his epistle, chapter 1, verse 18. "Of his own will," that is the will of God, "begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So in each of these scriptures we see Peter and James use the word as the agent of bringing about the new birth. And when Jesus in John 15 is speaking to his disciples and talking about their being clean, which suggests the activity of water, oh, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now I trust that this clarifies for each of my listeners the fact that the water the Lord Jesus speaks of is the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That word which you have in your hands, the word which the Lord Jesus would use to bring life to your soul. Now, the Spirit mentioned by Jesus is the Spirit of God, the divine person of the Trinity. He is the one who is in the world to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. If you have had any conviction of sin, it is the result of his work. His desire is to plow up your heart to realize your need of him. And when your heart is plowed up, he it is who takes the word. Oh, and he brings it to you for your acceptance on the principle of faith. He would draw you to consider the word of God, and he would open up your heart and open up your understanding. Oh, dear friend, has this been true of you? Now, in response to this, Nicodemus asks this question, "How can these things be?" Oh, how good it is. I believe that he genuinely is interested and desirous to know. And how I trust that each one of my listening friends today is asking the same question. How can these things be? How can I be born again? Well, let me briefly account the answer that Jesus gives to his question. He takes Nicodemus back to a page of history from the children of Israel in the wilderness, in Numbers 21. And Nicodemus, as acquainted with the Old Testament scriptures, well knew what Jesus was referring to. He tells him of what happened there in the wilderness. And we want to remind you that all that happened in the Old Testament is God's picture book for us today. They are for types, pictures, illustrations of his salvation. Now the story was this. Israel had murmured against God and sinned, and God sent fiery serpents among them and bit the children of Israel, and many of them died. Israel cried to the Moses and said, "We have sinned." And Moses cried to God, and God prescribed the remedy. He said, "Make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up, and everyone who looks will live. Moses did this, and it happened just as God had said. Everyone who looked lived. Now, this actually happened in the wilderness, and it happened as a picture to us. Each of us, you, dear listening friend, have been bitten by the serpent of sin and are on your way to die. And unless you are born again and receive a new life, you will die and perish in your sins forever. You must have a new birth. You must have new life, or else you will perish. The Lord Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." How beautifully simple is the word that Jesus gives. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Our Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on Calvary that he might pay the penalty for your sin and be the substitute for the judgment of God that we deserved. And he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He finished the work. And God has now, through him, offering of salvation for you and me. The dying Israelite looked and lived. And today, the believing sinner who believes lives. Looking, dear friend, is believing. There's life in a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. And notice this wonderful word that the Lord gives to Nicodemus. Many have been blessed through this precious word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, dear friend, would you be born anew? Would you have everlasting life? Well, all you need do is to put your name in that word, whosoever. Look to Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you. Believe on him and live. Receive everlasting life through the word of God, which the Spirit of God is only waiting to plant as a root in your heart of faith. This is your indispensable necessity. And until you are born again, you are dead in sins and on your road to eternal ruin. Will you not today turn to the Savior, look to him, be born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?